Now, staying with the Plymouth theme, this is a big season for the Plymouth skipper, Paul Wotton. 10 years since he made his debut against Shrewsbury. He's been rewarded with a testimonial for next year against top European opposition. And his autobiography, My Journey the First 10 Years, has been selling well in the shops in the city. Alan Richardson went to Home Park to talk in depth to Paul Wotton about his career and the book.
Wotton against Martin Taylor. Paul can give them a lead. Wotton stands up, he shapes himself, shoots, and it goes in there, and Plymouth Argyle have taken the lead at Home Park, and they have 1 foot in the third round of the FA Cup thanks to that goal, that penalty by Paul Wotton.
So Wotton will step up now, just making sure everything's right. Here he comes now. Wotton blasts it straight through the goalkeeper. Plymouth Argyle lead by a goal to nil.
Here he comes, right footed, one each. As sweet a penalty as you could take. Evans was rooted to the floor, kicks the ball away in disgust. Wotton found the top left-hand corner as he looked. It's one apiece.
Well, those are just some of the goals scored by Paul Wotton, who's with me now. Paul, what's your favourite goal?
I think my favourite goal, the one that held special memories, was the 5,000th goal, which was away at Bournemouth. It was a good goal as well, but it was one of my favourite ones. Keeper kicked it out and miskicked it, and I took a touch and chipped the keeper from about 45 yards when he was running back to his goal. So that was a special goal, yeah, especially with it being the 5,000th goal as well.
The ball was lost by Mayer, and it's going to be picked up by Wotton. He tries from distance. It's in! It's in from around about 40 yards. Paul Wotton, after an abysmal defensive mix-up, Maureen O'Keefe calls it. Defender Mayer went in, the keeper went in, and Paul Wotton saw the keeper was way out of his penalty area, just tried his luck, and the Pilgrims have the lead. It's Bournemouth 0, Plymouth Argyle 1.
And generally, you don't really do ordinary goals too much.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever scored a tap-in, to be honest. They always seem to be from outside the box, or if they're in the box, it's a penalty. So I don't get too many ordinary ones.
Now, somebody was telling me with the free kicks and also the penalties, you're very careful with where the valve is on the ball before you place, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know if it makes any difference, but in my head it does. If you get the valve spinning, then it helps the ball to curl or whip. And if you put the valve facing the goal, then it seems to get more power. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's just something that I do.
In your younger days, when you used to come down here and watch from the terraces, I mean, you always had this dream, but did you really believe that one day you'd be scoring goals for Argyle?
I think you're right what you say. Everybody has the dream, but whether you think it's ever going to happen or not, I can't ever remember thinking that I will score goals for Plymouth Argyle. I think it's just, like you say, there's a fine line between thinking, oh, I'd love to score goals for Plymouth Argyle, and then as you get older and older, you start to realise that it could one day maybe be a possibility, you know, when you start getting attached to the club and so on. But just dreaming of it was as good as thinking I was going to do it, really, when I was a kid.
Because your brother was on the books as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was an apprentice under the Peter Shilton era, and unfortunately for him, he didn't quite make it and got released. So I remember that was a tough time. But I think that spurred me on I saw the hurt that Gary went through, and maybe thought that I'm not going through that as well. So maybe worked extra hard.
Because it would be fair to say you weren't a big fan necessarily of Peter Shilton's management style.
No, disliked him immensely as a manager and a person. Really, haven't got any respect for him at all. I didn't like the way he treated people. I don't like the way he spoke to people. I've got utmost respect for him as a player and what he achieved in his career. It's phenomenal, and he was the best goalkeeper in the world. But I didn't like the way he spoke to people, particularly me, being so young and impressionable. I think there's a certain way you should speak to young players trying to make it in the game, and I don't think his route was befitting of that.
Because there was a particular incident, wasn't there? There was a game that you played in. Was it reserves or a youth team, and he just pulled you off at half-time?
Yeah, it was a reserve game away at Launceston in a pre-season friendly. And I'd only just joined the club straight from school. I was 15 as an apprentice. So I've got an August birthday. And took me off at half-time and in no uncertain terms told me that, you know, he wasn't happy with the way things were going and I could leave. I'd only been at the club 3 weeks. And to hear that as a 15-year-old from an absolute footballing legend is, as you can imagine, devastating. So I do take great pride in still being sat here now and talking about it. Our paths have never crossed since, and to be perfectly honest with you, I don't wish them to pass again. I don't care. It doesn't bother me now.
If Peter Shilton had stayed at the club, do you think you would have stayed?
No. I wouldn't have been offered a professional contract. I was fully aware of that. It's football really is strange how things work out. He got the sack at the end of a week, and on the next first team game I was playing in the first team. So the turnaround was just absolutely incredible, but there's no way I'd have been offered a professional contract now.
That was Shrewsbury away, and you got no inkling that it was coming up?
No, I didn't. I played in the youth team on a Saturday morning against Exeter. We won 1-0 and had a decent game. My name was on the squad sheet to travel to Shrewsbury, and I thought I may have had half a chance of being sub, but as it turned out, an hour before the game, Steve McCall, who was acting manager, told me I was playing, and what a turnaround it was. We actually lost 3-2 on the night, but I did myself justice, and it went okay personally. I mean, we lost, but I was on a massive high because 17 years old and my dream had come true. I'd played in the Football League for Plymouth Argyle.
Only sadness, I suppose, might have been in the fact it was an away match. Of course, your family couldn't be there, but I remember even the story about how you told your dad.
Yeah, I had to speak to my dad. I couldn't have played the game without speaking to him, so I was running around before the game trying to use a phone, and for some reason Shrewsbury wouldn't let me use it, whether it was busy or whatever, I don't know, but they told me there was a phone box at the end of the road, so I sprinted out down the end of the thing, down the end of the street, and I'm on the phone box to my dad saying, "Dad, I'm playing and all this type of thing. He just said, "Go and enjoy it, and you know, it's what you've worked for, so take your chance," type of thing. And then went back in the change. I don't think anyone realised I'd even gone missing, to be honest with you. Just got changed and played the game. Yeah, but that was strange, you know. It's strange how I had to speak to my dad. It's not, you know, I wouldn't have felt the same if I'd played the game without speaking to him first, so.